is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hey guys, this is Kelsey
and Kimmy,
and we are your hosts on Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Hey, oh, it's different now, but the same.
But the same. As one of our listeners said, more rock, same talk.
Thanks. That was a great tagline. We owe you 5 cents.
Yeah, we have a lot of kind of fun things happening right now. So, number one, our show title has changed. We're Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Mm-hmm. But like in parentheses and like whispered. It's like whispered Talk 30 sometimes. Rock to Me.
Yes. It's very like.
Did that work? Did you understand it?
Yeah, even? I like it. I like it. Rock. So, we have a new show title. We are also on our network now.
Big changes.
It's exciting. Like, I'm really excited too. So we are on the Boardwalk Audio Network. Mm-hmm. We're really excited. There are a lot of other really cool podcasts on the network. So go ahead and check it out at boardwalkaudio.com.
There's a lot of really cool podcasts. He sent us a list and I was like, oh, I want to listen to all these.
I know. I listened to a few of them already. It's kind of fun. And you can find our page at boardwalkaudio.com/talk30rocktome. And when you go to that site, there's a little button that says support our artist. And from there, it'll take you to an Amazon page. And when you buy stuff on Amazon, like all the seasons of 30 Rock or the latest and greatest, I don't know, fun little watch band or something, a kickback of that comes back to us.
Why Kelsey's doing this? Kelsey just bought herself an Apple Watch, and that's why she's thinking about Apple Watch bands.
I was just searching for watch bands the other day.
I was like trying to think of some other 30 Rock thing. You can get like a really good cheese board or like, you know, some like fun 30 Rock art.
Or like a hat, probably.
Like a Frank's hat, but no, you went straight with the watch band that you want for your Apple Watch.
I want a new turquoise watch.
I mean, here, there you go.
So, but if you buy some stuff on Amazon, it costs you nothing. Bookmark the page and just go there to buy all your fun stuff, and we get some kickback from that. So that's kind of fun.
So that's all our news.
No, one more
thing. Wait, one more news.
You're going to hear from us more often now.
Oh, yes. That's the other bit of news.
This is so exciting.
I clearly know what's happening to our podcast.
It's all right. That's all right.
We're switching to our show is going to be once a week instead of once every 2 weeks.
What?
So it's going to be just about the same. We're kind of splitting our episodes in half and then releasing them every week versus doing a big, large episode once every 2 weeks. So again, same show, same us, just a little more frequent. And we're going through one episode time. So easier for you. Right? Yeah, to remember that we exist.
Exactly. So you're going to hear, you're probably going to hear a little bit of ads. You're going to hear the cool little pre-show role of letting you know we're on Boardwalk Audio and hear some ads for the other shows for you to take a look at. And we're just excited. And we're excited to continue creating fun stuff for you guys.
We're just going
to
keep watching 30 Rock. We would do this anyway. So
regardless,
might as well do this with you.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Here's our show.
2, 3, 4.
Podcast, we're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast, we're making a podcast about 30 Rock. We're calling it Talk 30 to Me, it is great.
We're back.
This is Talk 30 Rock to Me with Kimmy
and Kelsey.
And we have a guest today.
We do.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. This is Caitlin Durante.
That's not how you say my name.
How do I say it?
Durante.
Did I say, is it Durante?
Ooh, fancy.
That's so much better than what I did. I just widified it so much.
Well, I grew up calling it Durante.
Really?
That's how my family pronounces it still. And then I graduated college. I was like, I do not like this pronunciation. So I changed it to Durante.
Oh, well, I'm really glad we're so close. Like, I did the family. I went the family route on your pronunciation. But Durante makes a lot more sense. And it sounds like Dante. So I'm into it.
Yeah, it just sounds better. So,
yeah. I like that. So Caitlin is a stand-up comedian. She's so good. She's going to be embarrassed that I said that, but I've seen her perform a bunch. She's amazing. Awesome. She manages Nerd Melt. She has a live show called Luck of the Draw. She produces shows, including The Rabbit Hole with Ray, with Jay and Rory. What if I call it Ray and Jory?
Oh, love it.
Do you think they'll like that?
Yeah.
That'll be great. I also work that show, so it's fun. And she has a podcast. Tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, it's called The Bechdel Cast. It's about the portrayal of female characters in movies. Mm-hmm. So we analyze how well or how poorly the female characters are treated in different mainstream movies, usually pretty badly.
Your Love Actually episode was painful
because
it was so accurate to movie.
Yeah, that movie. There are a number of female characters in it, but I think there's 2 minutes of screen time in the entire film where women are interacting with each other.
Really?
I can't remember if it passes the Bechdel test or not, but if it does, it's by a very
for
half-assed.
That's
Yeah.
It's real rough. That movie is, I will still enjoy it, but it's real rough. Mm-hmm. But I hope you bring a little bit of that feminism and insight to 30 Rock today. And
oh, I can't help but. I can't help it. I'm just a militant feminism. How do you talk? Militant militant feminist everywhere I go.
Everywhere you go.
It's like, I've always, and I think Kimmy and I have talked about this, I've always like shied away from calling myself a feminist just because there are extreme feminists and then there are the more, I don't know, where I'm all for like equal rights and all that stuff. But I think there's just such, sometimes there's that a negative portrayal of feminism, I think, even by feminists themselves, that I've always been like, I don't want to be a feminist. But mm-hmm. lately I've been like, yep.
Nope.
No.
Sometimes I would argue that it's the men and patriarchy who are villainizing feminists. So you're subscribing to the patriarchy by being like, oh, I don't know. Am I a feminist? Be a feminist, man. Interesting.
You got this. Well, I'll also say, not to at all, but this is something I've heard from a lot of people from Orange mm-hmm. County. There is a very bad reputation of feminism from where we come from in Orange County, because it is the most conservative county in California. Sure. And there's just like a thing. I talk about this all the time with my friends, and they're very comfortable with feminism because it's so conservative. They were all raised by the people who lived through the first wave of feminism, and we're like, ugh, that was so gross and unclassy.
Those gross hippies.
Well, and I think because there was also a long time where it was like, if you want to be a stay-at-home mom, then like, you're just doing what your husband says, instead of like, no, like part of being feminist is like, if I want to be a stay-at-home mom, like that's my choice.
And that's feminism right there. That's right. What it's supposed to be.
But I think that sometimes, like I've seen it, like whether it's on Reddit or something, where it's like, oh, like she's stay-at-home mom because her husband's making her, like, no, like believe in her that was her choice on mm-hmm. things like mm-hmm. that's where I cringe at feminism. And I think because for a long time that's all I would read and see things, and I was like, ew, I'm not, do what you want to do, it's fine. I think that it's catering more towards that way and it's broader.
I think it's growing really beautifully.
Yeah, perfect.
So Caitlin, can I ask, what is your experience of 30 Rock? Tell us your 30 Rock meet cute.
I'd love to. I started watching it, I want to say I was like a senior in college, which would have been like 2007, 2008. So it had already been out for maybe a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it was in season two when I started it. So I didn't have the whole lot to catch up on by the time I like got introduced to it. And I've been a huge fan ever since. One of my favorite shows still. It reminded me a lot of Arrested Development, which I think is like my top favorite mm-hmm. comedy show. I think the writing is really smart. I love the jokes and the characters. And yeah, so I've been watching. I've probably seen the later seasons, I haven't seen as much, but like seasons 1 through 4, I've probably seen each episode maybe 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're a good company.
Yeah. So I'm a pretty big fan.
Do you have a favorite character?
I love Kenneth
because yes. He's perfect.
And I love, I like Liz Lemon. People often say like, oh, Caitlin, you're so, oh, you're like Tina Fey. You look like Tina Fey. And I remind people of her, which is a compliment. Or I take it as one at least. So I identify with that character quite a bit. But yeah, I'd say they're so funny. Like Jack Donaghy is a great character. Mm-hmm. They all have just such great lines and personas that I don't know. It's hard to pick a favorite.
It really is, because it's a really great ensemble piece, mm-hmm. more than other shows. It's very much like Arrested Development in that, actually, that each piece is very important.
And even the more secondary characters, like Grizzin.com are so funny. And Frank and Lutz and like just everyone is just so terrific.
Mm-hmm. Who was .com retweeted our tweet the other day.
Yes, that was a big win for us.
Kevin,
I don't know.
And it's not Kevin James.
Chapman.
maybe. I don't know.
There's a Chapman on the show and I can't remember who it is.
Somebody tried to tweet at him something and tweeted to the completely wrong person. And I happened to catch it because they had like used the 30 Rock hashtag. And I was like, I think you meant this guy. And then he was like, yep, that's me or something. I don't know. It's funny.
Oh, that's charming.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. How would you say, as a woman who works in comedy and as a writer, in what ways does 30 Rock either influenced or not influenced your style and what you do?
Well, I love the absurdist angle of humor that it takes. And that's definitely anytime I've ever tried to write a pilot, which God, they're so hard to do. I'm like, oh, I should make this. Like, I want to kind of emulate that sort of absurdist comedy style that 30 Rock has going on. And it's just so hard to pull off well. Like, so I it influences me, but in a way where I'm like, oh, they did it. How, can I do it? No, I can't. It's hard. It's too hard. I've tried to write specs for 30 Rock, and mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm just not smart enough to do it. No.
Well, I mean, the amount of jokes that show has, yeah, I can't keep up with it.
It's so dense taking with jokes.
Taking notes on the show is real hard.
It's exhausting.
It's really, it's just constant writing. Because
you're writing one down, and then you've already missed three other ones mm-hmm. while you were writing.
That's it. Probably takes me twice as long to watch it, because I do lots of pausing and rewinding mm-hmm. when I'm watching the episodes. Yeah. And so it probably takes me twice as long to watch every single episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, and the way, that's very much how I feel about Arrested Development as well, yeah. is because that show, I just can't, there's some shows you watch and like, oh, I see where this came from. I see how they got to this joke. I see how they built this. Mm-hmm. I never can see Arrested Development coming. It's just, mm-hmm. And the same with this, like, I don't know how they get to those jokes. I don't know where they came from. I don't know where, it's just so good. It's like watching magic.
They do a lot of like bait and switch type jokes mm-hmm. kind of thing, or they'll like, they set up a joke that in, you assume that it's going to say, you know, how do you talk? Talk 30 Rock to me. You know what a bait and switch joke is. I don't have to explain it.
I mean, you can. I'd enjoy to hear it. You have a master's from Boston in screenwriting. So if anyone can explain it, it's you.
Oh, God. Thank you for saying that.
I just wanted to drop that. You paid for that master's. So I think it should be used as much as possible.
I do have a master's degree in screenwriting. listen to the Bechdel cast. I mention it once an episode.
It's authority, right? It gives you authority in it. Like,
I've got some cred. I've got some credentials.
As you pull your diploma out of your purse.
Yeah, I just carry it with me.
I know you can't see this diploma because it's a podcast, but it's here.
You should shrink it down, put it in your wallet.
I was just going to say, I turned it into business cards. Yeah. People are like, oh, how can we contact you? I'm like, here's my diploma. Figure it out for yourself.
I'm really intrigued that you say people compare you to Liz Lemon, and I get that you have glasses and brown hair, mm-hmm. so those are the very simple things, but also, you know, you want to work in comedy, you're doing this stuff, but it's always really, I don't know, this is very different. People, I've had three people tell me I look like Phoebe Waller-Bates, whatever, from Fleabag, and then they all get nervous, like, but like, not in, it's really strange to get compared to someone, because there's a lot of baggage that often comes to,
like,
that.
Don't take this offensively, but you kind of look like,
but it's also like, I like Googled her, for me, I Googled her, I'm like, oh, she's cute, okay, I'll take it, thank right. you very much, this is a compliment.
She's the main character
in
from Fleabag?
Yeah, it's because she has short curly hair, that's literally what it is.
Yeah, I don't really see the resemblance otherwise.
No. And it's totally fine, I'm not like hurt either way. But it, like, it's that thing when someone's like, you are like this person, there's baggage that comes with that, both good and bad. I don't know, as someone who's working this industry and is a writer, how does that make you feel when people compare you to Liz Lemon? Do you enjoy it? Is it kind of like, ah?
Because, like, that character and Tina Fey are, like, one especially thing. Tina Fey. Well, yeah, that. But, like, Tina Fey is someone who I admire, is just such a prolific voice in comedy. And I really like, she does everything too. She's on screen. She's writing jokes. She was the showrunner.
I think maybe. She was. It was like her and Jack Burdett.
I think so. Yeah.
Or Robert Carlock.
Oh,
her
Robert
Carlock. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fact that she's like wearing so many hats and is so good at all of them is just, and then like she was the head writer for SNL. So she like, not only can she write a sitcom, she does sketch, she was an improviser, like she's just like is so good at so many things. So I strive to be that too, I guess. And yes. Since she's someone I admire, if someone was like, oh, Caitlin, you remind me of Kellyanne Conway, I would kill myself. Or, you know, or like, because I don't know if you saw that her trying to do stand-up, that video that surfaced.
I knew how painful that would be, and I chose not to watch it. It must be awful.
Yeah, it was really,
wait, this
really...
is a real thing?
Yeah.
Kellyanne Conway tried to do
it was like years ago.
Yeah. She did. I don't even know what it was for, but she did like 10 minutes of like really, really terrible.
Oh my
I don't
gosh.
Even know if you can call it comedy.
No one can see you right now, but you're like massaging your forehead.
I'm really stressed like, out
like,
about
like,
it.
Like there's clear anxiety on your face as you're discussing this, which is hilarious. Yeah.
But yeah, to answer your question, since Tina Fey is someone who I admire, I like, and I've been getting this for years, and I don't know if it's just because I like wear glasses and am kind of awkward, but people are like, oh, you're the next Tina Fey. And I'm like, stop it. Shut up. What? Say more.
keep going.
Yeah. You can add that to your diploma.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just write it in a corner on it.
But I also, like, I don't necessarily want to be pegged as, like, I'm Caitlin Durante. So I just, like, want to be myself and figure out my own voice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Which you definitely have.
Thank you.
But it is hard to find, and that's, like, half the work. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on this show. We're really excited to have you.
Thank you.
I've wanted to have you on for a very long time, and I was waiting till we figured ourselves out a bit.
Right.
So it was really, plus, this was perfect to have you on Cougars with what you do normally in podcasting.
And because I'm such a cougar, thank you. Oh my God, I looked over and the cat was sitting on the key. Oh my God, that was not what I was expecting.
Henny's always a guest.
Henny is always on the podcast. So she either sits right there or she sits on the printer, which is over there. Those are her
two
spots.
Or she'll sit behind you and whack you with her tail.
I warned her it happened and she got excited.
Yeah. I was like, I can't wait.
It's going to be great. It's going to be really great. So perfect. Well, let's do a 30-30. Kelsey, why don't you take us on 30-30.
I always do like one more. Well, and actually I'm thinking I couldn't decide what 30-30 to do, and I think because all three of us were at the same thing, I think we could talk about that. Yeah.
All right, take us away.
So a couple of Wednesdays ago, two Wednesdays ago, I get a text from Kimmy on like Tuesday or Monday saying, Judah Friedlander's gonna be at Nerd Mud on Wednesday, you should probably come. And it worked out. And so I went and I brought my friend Michelle. And while we were there and walking into the back room, Kimmy was like, Kelsey, come here. This is Caitlin. She's going to be on the podcast. I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. And ran back inside.
But I spooked both of you. I'm so sorry, by the way.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Like, it was like the second of like, hi, I'll meet you for real in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it's great.
I'm great at introductions. Everyone knows it.
That goes on your diploma at the bottom. But so he was there. He was a guest on the Rabbit Hole,
which is a show
with Ray and Jory.
Dear Lord.
And it was hilarious. There were a bunch of other comedians there. It was very
a great show.
Trump themed for the evening.
It's gonna be for a while.
Yeah, it's gonna be for a while. I was at another show last night, and it was a big part of it. But that I'll save for a different 30-30. And yeah, so it was really funny. But so Judah Friedlander got there and he did his set, and it was quite entertaining. And he is just like all world champion everywhere on him. His shirt, his jacket, even his hat in sign language said world champion. It was finger spelled out, and that was kind of funny.
No, the thing I noticed I found funny too, so he did that. He did a fundraiser the next day on inauguration day, which was super cool. It was like a, not public access, but it was like a live streaming thing.
Yeah.
But he was wearing the exact same outfit.
He does, it's his whole tour this time. Like if you look at every picture,
that's
just what he wears.
Oh, interesting.
I would like to think that he has like seven of the same shirt though, and seven of the same jacket, and seven of the same hat. But if not, it's his thing and it's fine. But he was very funny, I thought.
It was good.
Yeah.
I didn't get to, I was filming it, which was really fun, so I couldn't laugh. Because I was trying to hold it very still.
Sure.
And like keep it on him. So I wasn't able, I like heard all of it and I processed it. It was very funny, but I wasn't laughing. So I wasn't engaging with the stand up. But what I processed while I wasn't just like, hold this still, stop shaking, your arm isn't tired. What I processed through that was very entertaining and very, a lot of it was very off the cuff.
The whole thing, it was like, give me a policy. Oh, immigration, let me tell you my opinion on that. Ah, like women's rights. It was all improv is really what it was.
Yeah, it was really great. It was so much fun to have him there and he was really great. So thanks for booking him, Caitlin.
You're welcome.
You made our lives amazing.
And he also might follow us on Twitter now.
I mean, whatever, we don't know.
Yeah, it's cool. It's
We're not freaking out. But yeah, that was really fun. That was a great show. I was so glad you'd come.
Yeah, that was great.
That was like the bat signal. We need like a 30 right. It's just like cheese in the sky. And I'm like, come to LA now.
And I almost, like last night I saw Margaret Cho and I almost texted you yesterday and I was like, but it would have been it was like
Kim Jong Il.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you can come. Never mind. It's super late and the show was really late too.
Where was it?
At Brea Improv.
Oh, yeah. She's doing a lot right now because she's been in her meld a few times, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've seen her on a lot of shows lately.
Yeah. A lot of drop-in sets she's doing.
All right, Kelsey, introduce this episode.
All right. So air date for Cougars was November 29th, 2007. Writer was John. I did this last time. We didn't know his last name. Riggy or Ridgy. And director was
Riggy
that we decided.
I don't know.
And director was Michael Engler, and they've both done other stuff, so I won't say what he's done. Listen to a former episode. Recap for this episode is that Tracy starts coaching a baseball team and Jack steps in to try and make it better. Liz starts dating a younger man and Frank goes through some changes self-identify. I don't know.
He has a journey.
Let's he has a journey. Has a I like that. He has a
sexual
journey.
Awakening.
There we go.
This whole, like, everyone keeps saying you can't be gay for one person in this episode. It's like a runner in it. But I thought the whole thing is you love who you love.
Right.
I thought that was like where we'd come to as a society. Well, so it's very strange.
It's 26. This was 2000. What did I say? It was 2007. Like, things have changed a lot in the last 9 years.
It's very
10
true.
Years.
But did that strike anyone else? I was like, this is very rigid.
A bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, I guess I would have always just been, and this is, I'm like, oh, doesn't that just kind of mean you're bi if you can, like, but I guess it is just a love who you love is kind of the,
I mean,
there's not a category.
There's the Kinsey scale. Frank might be somewhere in the middle and you never knew.
Exactly. Okay, good. I'm like, I'm not the one to speak. I am very heteronormative, but this is like that Lonely Island song. Just keep professing what I am the whole time. But so I'm not the authority, but the whole time I'm like, this seems a little outdated. This seems a little not where we are now as a society. So cool.
That's true.
I wasn't wrong.
No, this was very 2007 versus 2017.
I was waiting for y'all to be like, no, Kimmy, you can't be gay for one person. Though I have said that line where she goes, unless you're a lady and it's Ellen. That a lot. And I don't know why, but it is just very true. She is very charming.
I was trying to think like, oh, is there a different person you would compare it to now? I think you would still compare it to Ellen.
Oh, Ellen is still queen.
Yeah.
She's in charge. There are so many effing hats in this episode.
So freaking
I kept
many.
I kept writing them down because there's been like one or two per episode.
Well, and there was an episode. Oh, because Frank wasn't on one of the last episodes, so there were no Frank
hats.
They're making up for it in this one. Because we get one very first, like within the first 5 seconds, you get Olay.
Yep.
Like it's right away, just right there in your face. There's
they're really
an Olay
going
hat.
For it. Do you think they literally just have like a whole bunch of hats and then like letters and then he just like irons them on right before a scene?
I like the idea of him actually being the one to iron them on. Not like a props department
that's
or costume.
That's definitely what's happening. That's definitely what it is.
Yes.
No, I was gonna say we have Olay. What are the other hats in this episode?
We've got Olay, we've got right boot, and I started writing like so right boot was the second hat, and that came in at 3.5 minutes in. At 5 minutes and 5.25 minutes in, we got it.
Why are you saying the time codes?
Because of how quickly they were changing.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Like he's in it for like 10 minutes, like because there's three hats per episode. It was just changing so fast. And then at 8 minutes in, we had Handyman. Mm-hmm. And then at 15 minutes in, we had Beef. At 16 minutes in, we had Burrito. And then it ended with Power Tool at 19.
How many is that? Six?
That was, yeah, I think that was six.
That's a lot of hats. It's a lot of jokes he had to think of.
Seven? Six. One, two.
He has to think of his own hat jokes. Then he has to iron them on.
So much work.
That's a lot of work. They don't pay him enough for this stuff.
No. So it starts out with something that I can relate to so much of Liz getting invited to do all of these things. And she's like, no, like making up excuses not to go someplace because she really just wants to go home and watch Top Chef. Mm-hmm. But no, I love Jenna's line where I'm going out with recently divorced camera guy. Legally separated sound guy will be there. Like, these guys will be there. These are options.
Legally, a recently divorced camera guy was cute, though.
He was cute.
Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no, she should go out with him. I love this idea of an animal only strip club.
Oh, animal customers. That's ridiculous.
Wait, that was this episode? I somehow missed that.
Yeah, yes, that was the very, very
I love
beginning.
That joke.
It was super early. It's a lot like that Office joke where Jim was like, it's a two-way petting zoo where you pet the animals and the animals. Yeah. And then it's to say that to Idris Elba and Idris Elba just stares him down.
That's amazing.
Jack walks up and he knows exactly what Liz is going to do that night. You're ordering your meatball sandwich with extra bread. You're going to take some NyQuil. You're going to watch Top Chef. And she's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, well, then you won't mind that I tell you that Casey gets voted off. And Casey Thompson was on season 3 of Top Chef.
She was really good. I watched Top Chef at this point. So that was a big spoiler for her. You've never watched Top Chef? Mm-hmm. It is really addicting. Also, I just got all this interesting info because a friend was a PA on it.
Ooh.
So she talked about having to do a lot of dishes, but eating the food. And it was great. Yeah, they got to eat because Tom Colicchio would just like make them food, which is the dream because his food's like $80 a pop.
That's awesome.
But no, I was really into Top Chef at this point. Casey, I was a big fan. She was really good. So this was pretty cruel of Jack to just give this away.
Yes, but she also made the top three, so she didn't really get voted off. Like,
no,
obviously not accurate.
No, she did get voted off though.
But she was a runner up.
She was a runner up, but she got voted off in the finale.
Oh, I barely recall that.
So that means he gave away the finale. So that's even crueler a spoiler.
But that's what doesn't isn't finale wise. That means it happened in the next like in 3 seconds it announces runner-up, runner-up, finalist.
No. The way Top Chef works, so it's, oh my gosh.
Sorry, I'm so used to Survivor right now. I'm like, no, like they all sit there at the end.
Not every show is Survivor.
Yes, it is.
It's a whole episode. It's an hour, and then like 30 or 20 minutes in, they have one round, and then they get rid of the runner-up. And that's okay. When she got up. And then you have another 40 minutes where they have this huge thing, or it's in the second to last episode. It's one of the two where they have this huge, like, this is fascinating, I'm sure. This huge challenge at the end where everyone comes back and it's very much like Bake Off and all that. So she got kicked off before that. So it's actually quite a big spoiler. So Jack is a dick.
Interesting. Good to know.
Yeah. So just so everyone knows how much that joke hits. Hit me really hard.
Clearly. And then you get Liz's, you monster, why are you like this?
I love this episode because this plot line is so, I just love the metaphor for the war in Iraq. It's just really, really interesting.
You've jumped to Jack's.
Oh, with Jack and the baseball team.
Sorry, I jumped too far ahead.
I'm on the cougar line. Yeah. I'm like, interesting.
This cougar story.
A bunch of old hot women invaded Iraq.
Oh my God.
To distract Saddam Hussein.
This isn't what I meant, but now I like it. Let's see where this goes. Like, what would this look like? Are we writing this right now?
Fanfic.
This is where WTF should have gone with the King of Foxtrot.
Yes. Gosh. Yeah. So this, the storyline of Tracy walks in with a bunch of little boys. That sounds so gross. A bunch of boys in green hats. Which,
why are they all wearing green hats?
All wearing,
I think that was supposed to be their uniform. Especially because they couldn't wear red or blue because of the Bloods or Crips or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. You can't wear because of that. But yeah, and so then Jack, of course, is like, well, I can make this better, and steps in and does what he thinks is right.
I love Alec Baldwin so much because he just so easily plays that, like, old white man in charge. He looks like a general. He looks like Petraeus. Mm-hmm. Like, he has that look so well. So he plays that role in that weird analogy so beautifully. And he is so sweaty in so much of this episode. Like, real sweaty.
He's wearing like a polo shirt and khakis at one point. And I'm like, this is very odd.
Yeah. With that cigar. Hey, that's that king we met earlier.
Yes. Which, did you notice? So I was like, Knuckle Beach is not a real place.
No, it's the best name for a fake place I've heard in a while.
It's also referenced in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. A Tina Fey fake city.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's not like where they live, obviously, but there's something with like an animal shelter or something that's in Knuckle Beach.
It sounds like something that the Carol Kane character would talk about.
Probably.
Yes. Like, she was like, down in Knuckle Beach. That's my Carol Kane impression. Was it good? Tell me now.
Maybe.
I know I nailed it, but...
Wait, can I backtrack for a second? Yeah. When you were talking about what Jack was wearing.
Yes.
There's another, I don't remember which episode it's in, but Jack is wearing a tux and Liz is like, why are you wearing a tux? He's like, it's after 6 o'clock. What am I, a farmer?
Yes.
Or something. I
love that joke. Classic Jack.
One of the great 30 Rock jokes.
Is it in this episode or in the next episode? It's in this episode where the Jack and he's like, I'm very charitable. I donate money to an organization that gives homeless people tuxedos.
Oh, yeah.
And then you cut to the homeless guy at a wedding scooping shrimp, which they use. Shrimp is their go-to fancy food, I've learned in 30 Rock.
Oh, it's true, because they have the thing of shrimp made of shrimp jumping into a shrimp. Bowl of shrimp.
And then I was watching like season 5 or 6 the other day, and it has Liz at another event, and she's eating something with shrimp. Like, that's just their default. Like,
that's so funny.
Fancy food is shrimp.
It's because shrimp is fancy food.
I love motifs like that, though. Like, only fans who've seen like every episode multiple times would pick up on stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, it is a... Isn't shrimp fancy food for you guys? I'm stuck on this.
Yeah.
Is it fancy food?
No.
I eat it only at Christmas.
Well, it's like like having like a shrimp cocktail thing is like, yeah, it's fancy.
I eat it.
I'd say.
I eat shrimp.
All the time.
Yeah.
See, it's fancy food for me. My grandma puts it out of Thanksgiving, and that's the only time
for us.
Eat
like
it.
At Christmas time, my mom always makes fettuccine alfredo and shrimp, and so like that, I associate it with that. But I also don't consider Christmas as fancy.
Well, I mean, to have it like as an hors d'oeuvre, I think it's fancy. It's better than like chicken wings and like jalapeno poppers,
which does sound good. But yeah. I agree. Okay, cool. I just suddenly had a moment where I'm like, am I not classy? Am I wrong in this? I think Tina Fey agrees with me, but.
we get great lines from the kids that walk in.
These kids are really cute. They're really well cast. They're
so cute.
Mm-hmm. Really cute kids.
So we get what their dreams are, which is, when I grow up, I'm going to do vending machine maintenance.
I'm going to get shot by the police and sue the city. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to be a talkative doorman with a drinking problem.
Hey, you shoot for the stars. Right.
And then someday, I'll have an office like this to clean.
Oh.
And then you get Jack saying, these kids need some good role models. And you get the kids saying, oh, like R. Kelly and Michael Vick. That's just such a great line.
Oh, it's so sad. A lot of Michael Vick jokes, because they had one like 2 episodes mm-hmm. ago where he was doing the dog fighting.
Yeah, when Tracy went in the dog fight.
Oh my God, I love that episode. They bring in the little tiny like Pomeranians.
Yes, yes.
It was not Calmer laughing. They did it very purposefully. Yeah. It's so good. So this is my only issue. So this whole plot line of we haven't even talked about Jamie yet. We'll get there. This whole plot line of these boys and this baseball game is a metaphor for Iraq and our tendency to go in and be like, we have all the answers. We're rich, wealthy, white people. Yep. We can fix all these other cultures, and failing, right? But at the same time, it's a mixed metaphor, because it's a very different cultural situation we're dealing with here. So I appreciate the analogy. But I think it causes almost more problems comparing these two cultural situations. Does that make sense to
you? You mean like this storyline being an allegory for Iraq war?
Sets up a very complicated situation, though, with how do you deal with like inner city youth? Mm-hmm. And not an actual problem. It's just like weird. It causes weird tension in my mind.
They could have done
it
in a different way. They could have done it with a different. What we were seeing could have been done with different.
To make it an allegory, they had to stereotype this community very specifically. And it's not an issue. It just made me, it created a tension in me watching it because there's, I don't know, it's not a huge issue. It just like weirdly, I really struggled with it, because they were using one community to make an allegory about another. And the situations are very different in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. though. It's still a really good point, I think, overall. I just had a hard time with it at moments.
I understand that. I think if you just simplify it to like, bourgeois white people being like, I can come in and fix this.
Yeah.
If you simplify it to that, like, I understand the metaphor, but mm-hmm. it was potentially problematic to sort of compare the two.
Which is a very classically 30 Rock thing,
right? Yeah. Right. That's potentially problematic. What?
It's always problematic. They're always getting in trouble. But I still really enjoy the analogy, which, I mean, I'm just going to keep talking about Arrested Development because it's in my ear now. But that great Arrested Development episode where Mission Accomplished, mm-hmm. where they have the big banner.
Yeah. Yep. And we get that. Take a look at Banner, too. Michael.
I've been rewatching it, so it makes me really happy.
Man, so good.
And then we have the Fun Times Accomplished banner in this episode.
And the pulling down the Jefferson Davis statue, which there's no way there's actually that statue there. So I just imagine the props department having to create this Jefferson Davis statue, which was very entertaining in my mind.
Very entertaining.
We should go to the other plot line, because that's a very interesting one as well.
I call it the A story.
Yes.
What? I have a master's degree in screenwriting. No big deal.
Well, it's confusing for me when I was trying to figure out the three stories, because would you say the C plot line is Frank and his stuff that he's struggling with? Okay. Because it weaves in with the B plot, and the A plot line a lot.
Classic
that I
was 30 Rock.
To, right. Mm-hmm. But I was like, because that's not a storyline by itself at all. It requires the A story in order to exist.
Yeah. That's pretty standard, though, for a TV episode.
Mm-hmm. And I would again say, particularly this show, really great about bringing everything together in a really spectacular way at the end. So that's just how I feel, though.
True. Mm-hmm. So we meet Jamie.
Jamie
the coffee boy. Which, that makes it... Do you remember the Kristen Chenoweth, Taylor the Latte Boy song?
Oh.
I just said Jamie the Coffee Boy, and I'm like, oh, that's Taylor the Latte.
I do remember that song. Mm-hmm. That song's fabulous. I wish they had written an entire musical around that song.
I would have watched it.
Have you heard this? It's just like a very narrative song that Kristen Chenoweth randomly did. It sounds like a Broadway musical song.
I can sing the whole
But it's the only song. Like, it's just a rando song. But it's like her, and she's in love with the Latte
Boy.
It's about a coffee boy.
Very nice.
So fits this pretty well.
I'm going to have the song in my head now. I'm glad I didn't think about it before. Now, or else I would have had it in my head since I watched this episode. So Jamie walks in and Jenna is just like in her like yummy, like this is like a cute little kid in comparison to Simon Le Bon, who he didn't know from Duran Duran.
Got it. I didn't get that reference.
I had to look it up, but I knew it was a reference to something.
I love how all the references that they make to like older people that the young guy isn't like is supposed to not get are also references that I do not get.
I didn't get any of them.
There's some good references later on that
I knew you'd research, so I want to hear them.
We get what might be one of my favorite Liz lines, possibly in the whole show. Just her, "What sexy you are! Shut up." When Jamie calls her the sexy librarian, and who's the Val Emick? Is that the actor's name? Emick. That's Jamie.
What's his name?
Val Emick.
Is that right?
Well, the first name is Val.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, because Caitlin, yeah. I remember when I first talked about this episode, you said you would run into him.
That's what IMDb says.
Oh, yes. Do you want to hear that story?
I would love to hear that story.
It's not a good story. I was living in New York at the time, and my friend was PAing on that show Ugly Betty, and he had a short
arc. Yeah, he was on Ugly Betty 4 episodes.
On it. So they had a rap party that she was working at, and she's like, come just like, I'll get you in. Like, I'm working the door. I'll sneak you into this rap party. So I go, and I was very underdressed, and because everyone was like all dressed up and cute and like richer than I was, and I just like looked like crap, and I was like trying to blend in, but I didn't know anyone there, so I was just like sort of like lurking in the corners, and like I was very young and not that I was like 22, and I was like not very confident at the time, and I was just like, I stood out like a sore thumb. And then I like saw him there and I was like, oh my God, he's so cute in real life too. And oh, what if I'm just going to like try to linger around him and see if he notices me and thinks I'm cute. And then it didn't work at all. So that was my brief interaction with the actor.
More reasons you're like Tina Fey and Liz Lemon, right?
Yeah.
Right? You also thought he was really cute. Mm-hmm.
And handled it pretty awkwardly. Yeah.
He is pretty cute.
He's like totally my type too. I like very small, frail, pretty boys is like really my thing.
I like it.
Oh, he's adorable. He's really, really cute in this. They like cast him. I love that line where she's like, he's like Zac Efron. That's a thing, right?
That's a thing, right?
Which makes me really happy because I was talking about someone I thought was cute. And I'm like, oh, he's not like Zac Efron. My friend is like, is that your like goal? And I don't, I'm like,
18-year-old
no.
Kimmy, absolutely.
I know, but then I was like, I know you knew me then too. It really was. But I was like, no, why am I saying this? And then I rewatched this. I'm like, oh, that's why I said it. Something Liz Lemon said. I feel I'd like ingested it so much where I had just made him like the like cute goal.
Well, Zac Efron is objectively like the most hottest, the most attractive
absolutely
man. He's very good looking.
That's and he's not cute anymore. He's hot.
He's hot.
Like 100%.
I will watch. He's in a bunch of really bad movies and I don't care. I will watch them
right.
Because just he's eye candy for 100%. Me. I just want to watch him.
Did you notice that? So when the scene happens, when Jamie walks in to ask Liz out, like 10 o'clock at night, that there's like a cake behind Liz on her windowsill.
I did not notice that, but that's hilarious.
And I don't know if it's a real cake or a cutout of a cake, and I don't know which one I like better.
Either way.
I think it was the best. I'm like, what is that? And that's fantastic.
Oh, her relationship with food is so perfect.
Oh, man. It's so good. So Liz is struggling with going out with a kid who's like 3, basically. And Jenna's trying to tell her, it's okay, we're cougars. It's fine. And Jenna references a Vanity Fair article about cougars, and she's like, about that Crisis in Africa cover. So in July of 2007, there were a bunch, and in July, there were 20 different covers that were shot by Anne Leibovitz.
Annie Leibovitz. Yeah,
thank you. And it was Crisis in Africa, and the covers were all of different celebrities, and it was like Maya Angelou and Madonna and Obama and Don Cheadle and all these things. And I'm curious if she saw one that was like Maya Angelou and Chris Rock were on a cover together, and I wonder if she saw that and went, oh, it's a cougar episode, or a cougar article, like because she... She's like, oh, it was like a cougar. I don't know that Vanity Fair would actually have an article about.
They might, but they tend to be a little above that. So interesting.
That's what I thought. So I'm wondering if she
Maya
saw that.
Maya Angelou and Chris Rock is an example
combos,
of cougars.
The combos
that is
are
so
great.
Complicated.
So like Maya Angelou, Madonna, Obama, Don Cheadle, Obama, Muhammad Ali, Bono and Queen Rania. Bono and Condoleezza Rice, which was another one that maybe. Condoleezza and George W. Bush.
Condi.
But I don't know who's I can't pronounce it. Did D-J-I-M-O-N is the first name.
Jimon Hounsou.
Yeah. So he's on it with Madonna, and he's on it with Brad Pitt, and he's on it with George W. Bush.
So the only real opportunity for Cougar is Maya Angelou.
You also have Oprah on there with Bill Gates and Melinda Gates, and Oprah and George Clooney, Jay-Z, and Alicia and Jay-Z. So it's just like, it's all these I wonder if she literally saw this and went, it's a cougar thing. And it says crisis. It says Africa on it or something like that. That if that was her connection, she's like, that's what it's about. It's about cougars and Vanity Fair.
It's a stretch, but I also love this idea that Jenna looked at a photo of Maya Angelou and Chris Rock and she was like, get it, girl.
Right.
Like, get your man. That makes me very happy.
Yes.
I like that the joke at the end of that scene is because she's like, the crisis in Africa cover. And she's like, it just makes me so sad that more people don't know about cougars.
Right? So good. It's so great.
This was right in that weird moment, too, when cougars were a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember? I mean, to the extent,
when did Cougar Town come out?
Right around a year after this. And then Cougar Town was never about cougars in the end. It just kept that ridiculous name. And then Abed became obsessed with it. But
oh, yes.
Yes.
Just such a great plot on Community. But it was such a weird moment. It was one of those weird words, the way that selfie is a word. And I'm really glad it kind of died.
Oh, yeah.
But then again, I used it because my sister has dated younger men. And I always call her a puma because she was like 20 and her boyfriends would be 2 or 3 years younger than her. Mm. So Amy was a bit of a puma.
But what's the difference between a puma and
when
a cougar?
You're
a younger woman dating a much younger man. So like a puma is someone our age dating someone younger.
Oh, I see. Ew. Sorry. You said puma. I'm like, are we cougars?
No, we're not cougars.
Sorry, I heard that wrong.
Did
and
that
I'm like,
scare
that
you?
It did. It gave me a little heart attack.
No, we're technically, so if like we dated someone who was like 20, 21, we'd be pumas. Look at the face Kelsey is making right now. She can't even visualize this.
Well, because like I went from like, I think when I was 24, I dated a guy who was 30 and like what I'm like, and it was fine. And then after that, I dated a guy who was 22, which is a way closer age gap. Which normally wouldn't have bothered me, but after dating somebody who was 6 years older than me, going to somebody who was 2 years younger than me, I'm like, you are a child. Like, it was fast. I did not realize that was going to be an issue for me. Like, I don't think I could date anybody
younger. The Puma lifestyle is not for you, Kelsey.
It is not. It is not.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't date anyone. That's how I solve that problem.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
There are so many references that it's like you're saying, it's just, they're referencing people that we don't even know who they are. So Gnarls Barkley is a musician. But she's like, have you been to his official website? He does not have an official website. At least anymore. He doesn't.
Oh, that's funny.
Really funny.
Any post you do, it brings up his Facebook page and his MySpace page, which I thought was precious.
Oh, his MySpace. He's helping out Justin Timberlake with that one.
Right. And then she goes, this just went from a senior dating a freshman to Mary Kay Letourneau. Which, do you know who that is?
No, but that's how the remember the name goes. And then it's Billy LaFoy.
Villy. Is a 34-year-old female teacher who had sex with a 12-year-old boy. She got pregnant.
No.
Went to prison. Got out of prison. Slept with him again. Got pregnant again.
So this was inspiration for later.
Oh, yes. Oh, right?
Yes,
right?
Okay.
They wrote a book that was released only in France called Only One Crime, Love.
But what does that sound
they're
like
married now. They are married.
Where's
now.
My what? Phone?
Yes, they are. Like, so I'm like gagging as I like, yep, that is a thing that happened. They have at least 2 kids together. And
the age difference is what? She's 22.
So she was, 22
years older than. I mean, that in its, I mean, you know, what, Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Right.
That's fine. But when he's 12,
yeah, right,
like
there's a difference between a 12-year-old and a 34-year-old, and I mean even a 30-year-old and a 52-year-old, like that's still crazy, but there's a very big difference.
Well, one is rape, number one.
That's
and child molestation.
Yep.
Also, can 12-year-old boys even like ejaculate?
I was thinking the same.
Have they gone through puberty? I guess that's like right around the age that
probably
boys start going through puberty,
but like there are so many things that are just.
I really want to hear the responses where men are like, no, this is when we go through puberty. I hope that's the kickback we get on this episode is men arguing when they go through puberty.
Well, women, like girls start getting their period usually around like 11 or
13,
12.
Yeah.
And then, girls mature faster physiologically than boys. So I feel like 12-year-old boys are still
12-year-old, that's like junior high. Like that's like when boys start getting weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird boys.
Right.
Can I read the name of that book title in French?
Oh, yeah, please do.
I'm going to slightly butcher it because I'm not the best at French, but it sounds even worse right. in French. It's Un seul crime. No, crime?
Crime?
Crime. Crime. L'amour. It's just so gross in French.
There's like a Lifetime movie on it too. Like I stopped writing because I just started getting grossed out. There's a Lifetime movie about their story. And like he had to, after she got released from prison and like when they were trying to get married, he had to go and get the no contact order like revoked because he wanted contact with her. Like it's just, it's nasty.
Oh, this is.
And they sued the kid, the son, the boy's family, like sued for emotional distress, like sued the state or something, like not the girl, like sued. It was don't sleep with your students, guys.
Don't do it. Guys, bad idea. Well, I've been watching that new show, Riverdale, spoiler, first episode. That's the plot line. It's awful. Poor Archie. Archie never would have done that in the original comics, can I just say?
No, Archie was...
It's a storyline that always bothers me, because I'm like, prison for all of you.
All of you, right? I'm like, what, in like Pretty Little Liars, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
this is
exactly.
not okay.
It's so gross.
Don't normalize this.
It's so gross. But anyway, all I have to say, I also found photos of them and it's freaking me out. So I'm going to put it away.
Yeah,
but this is inspiration for a later plot.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting.
That's, I was thinking that too.
Yeah, we'll get there when we get there, yeah. But that's fascinating.
Moving on further down this storyline. Mm-hmm. Jamie's fashion is interesting.
It just was though of the time where you'd wear, I remember when people would wear t-shirts under like over a button up. I remember
but
what people did.
It
that.
Wasn't, he wore a blue t-shirt under a plaid collared shirt, under a gray t-shirt, under a black hoodie. And he wore that twice.
I feel like he also, you see him in a sweater vest at some point. Maybe I'm making that up, but
he would wear a sweater vest because his mom dresses him still.
Yeah.
Which, did you know, so the actress who plays Beth, mm-hmm. the mom, is Laura Lynn Berrios, and she is the lighting stand-in for Tina.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
That's really funny. Yeah.
That's so smart to do that. She looks, I mean, it was a great, like even mm-hmm. the mirroring of her outfit was really funny.
It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to jump to the last storyline?
Oh, to Frank?
Yeah.
Frank is gay for Jamie.
This might be my favorite storyline in it, even though it's just so...
It's so ridiculous. It's, yeah. it's really funny. It's just an evolution for Frank. And I think my favorite part of it is Lutz's frustration.
Yeah.
With all of it. Lutz, it's just such an existential nightmare constantly for Lutz. He never gets to have the last laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Why isn't this fun?
Yeah.
Oh, poor Lutz.
Poor Lutz.
Sue never gives him the attention he deserves.
I know, right? Oh,
my Lord. Is she the Germanish?
Yes.
But that's writer?
His wife. She's in real not life. That yet.
Oh, really?
But yeah, that's his. I know, isn't that really cute?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not married on the show, but I just always like watch them. They're always sitting next together on the table. And I'm always like, mm hmm.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's true love.
Wait, can we jump back to the Jamie and Liz
yes.
storyline?
Yes.
I like how. There's one point where Jack is like talking to Liz about like having like a younger person on your arm and like how it's a status symbol. And I like how he like mansplains sexism to her.
Yep.
He's like, Liz, that's sexist. Cause she's like, it's different for a woman. Like you're an older man having a younger woman is like a status symbol, but it's different for a woman. It just looks ridiculous. And he's like, Liz, that's sexist. And it's like, okay, yeah. Jack, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I will say, what he says is really kind.
Oh, true.
He is mansplaining the heck out of feminism for a man who says things like in the next episode, token women.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He is very sexist, but he like was very fair.
I agree with the sentiment that, yeah, there shouldn't be a double standard. Like if I'm an older woman and I want a younger, like hot young side piece next to me, then yeah, go for it.
Get it, Caitlin.
Go, girl.
Did you see, you can see it was, I was.
Her bra was showing.
Yes.
So much.
Yes. I was like, that is a black bra. Like her dress was beautiful. Again, they're like doing the whole, like these are.
They're really going
press.
With the cleavage. Mm-hmm. They're really pushing it.
But it was weird. I'm looking at them like you can straight up see her bra and not like a bra straps. It was bizarre.
I was a little intrigued at that choice, but maybe they're trying to make her look like young, hot and sexy to be out with Jamie.
That's true. That's true.
I don't know. But it bothered me too. And I'm like, this feels like a simple wardrobe thing.
I love Jack's line when he meets Jamie. And he's like, where did you two meet? Amber Alert.
It's not how Amber Alert
there's
works.
A few other funny jokes like that where... Siri, what's her name? Suri's like oh, I thought I saw you at that club last night. Is that like when my they found my grandpa at the bus station?
Yeah.
Or whatever. And then Jack goes, Liz, what are you doing here? Did you take an Ambien with your Franzia and sleepwalk here? Love it.
What is Franzia? Is that a wine?
Oh, it's a boxed wine. It's like the famous
it is the boxed wine.
Boxed wine. Did I buy a box of it last week? Yes, I did.
There's so many just good jokes. I'm just like looking at my paper, trying to read my terrible handwriting in pencil. Again.
My favorite joke from the entire episode is when it's early on. Tracy comes into Jack's office and Jack is talking about the baseball team and the practice. And they're talking about, he's like, we need to have a meeting. And Tracy's like, practice? Meetings? What is this? A marriage?
Right. I think my favorite love thing is like the sentence of which Winston Churchill biography will inspire a Sean to bunt. Right. And both of those Churchill bios are so, I think one was said it was written by like, it was like Watson Churchill or something. It was like, it's clearly, I don't know. There was just really, I want to get a screenshot of what those bios were because they're very silly. And they're the silliest photos. And it's Kenneth's sincerity as he holds them up. Like, which one? Also, my other favorite joke is Kenneth being with his dream journal.
Oh my God.
Yes. They've all come true so far.
So funny.
So good.
There's a line where Jenna's telling Liz to go shop at Abercrombie and Fitch to like dress young. And Liz is like, it's so loud in there.
It's so true.
Used to work at Hollister.
Shut up.
Yep.
What was that like?
It was horrendous. I mean, most retail jobs are terrible, but this was especially bad because working there or Abercrombie & Fitch is like an assault to every single sense because it is very, very loud. I would like come home with headaches because of how loudly they play like very terrible like surf punk music, or I don't even know what genre that is, but it was garbage. And then they'd dim the lights super low so you can't see anything. They spray the cologne every 15 minutes in the store so like you can't breathe, and it's like it's a nightmare. But yeah, I worked there for about a month and then I quit because I was like, I'm too depressed to work here. And they're like, that's a weird reason to quit. But I was like, well, it's true. So I have to go home right now and I'm never coming back. Bye.
So when I was in high school, there was a Hollister opened up at a mall right by my house. And like three of my best friends all got jobs there. Also, they were always all working at Hollister and then they all like left and went to IKEA.
Oh, there's that huge IKEA right there. That's why. Also, I would hate that because then you'd all hang out after work and I bet it was just smelled like Hollister all the time with all of them in there.
That combined with like Axe body spray because it was
because it was the early 2000s. Yeah. What are you going to do? There's an interesting runner. I realized it's a bit where Frank's gay, like, you know, do you want to kiss him? He goes, yeah, I want to kiss him on the mouth. That's like a sentence that gets said a lot on this show. Like, I remember she's like, I want to steal him and kiss him on the mouth in a later episode. I found that's like a really weird runner. It's just something specific. She says a lot. It's a very specific approach to someone.
Yeah.
But it's something but weird.
Accurate.
That says.
Usually when you kiss someone, it is on the mouth.
That's fair. True.
Like,
fair.
I'm not talking a cheek kiss.
No. She wants to kiss him on the mouth. Yeah. But that was like a weird, like, motif that shows up again on 30 Rock. Also the fact that Ceri always thinks that Liz is divorced and has children. Why does she keep Ceri? It makes no sense.
That Xerox
is she
fame.
Supposed to be like the writer's room assistant? I was never clear on what her job was in the show.
Which just, I mean, I've met writer's assistants. She doesn't, it's just like such a weird place. She's either Liz's assistant or she's the writer's assistant. Yeah. I'm not sure which. Makes no sense.
No.
It's her last name is Xerox. So we think that she's just a famous rich girl who just needs
of
a job.
Of the Xeroxes. Yes.
Wait, her last name is Xerox. I never knew that. That's really funny.
They're like, which American corporation should we have her be the inheritor of? Oh, yeah, the Xerox.
The Xerox company.
Yeah, that joke is never not funny.
I like how when Liz gets the hot younger guy, Jenna decides she wants a hot younger guy. And she ends up dating, okay, I couldn't
a 12-year-old?
Well, and I couldn't decide because there's a whole storyline in one of the first seasons, in the first season of Friends, where Monica is dating somebody where she tells him her age is lower and he tells her his age is higher. And she's like, oh, he's a senior. And he ends up being a senior in high school instead of a senior at NYU.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And I can't decide because she says that he's a senior. And I'm like, or is he 12? Like, I really can't. He's wearing Heelys. Like,
he looks like 15.
I said that he looks like Shia LaBeouf on Even Stevens.
He
like,
does. Like,
that's who I think he
oh,
is.
Oh, the good days.
And I'm like, this is just gross. Like,
it's
nope.
So gross. Classic Jenna, right?
Take very it too classic far. Jenna. I did love when Frank paints that painting for Jamie.
I want that painting. This is my cry to the world. Find me that painting. I want it. I will put it up it's in my apartment.
So I could probably recreate it for you.
Oh, I mean, I would pay do. You.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Just know that you want like $50. Do that for me.
But that also reminds me of there's an episode of How I Met Your Mother where Lily's really getting into and there's just something about that painting that reminds me of the painting, the nude painting she does of Marshall. There's just something about it, or the one she does of Barney that it just made me think of that.
It's actually a lot like I had a friend in college do a painting. Austin. He did a painting of a robot apocalypse. It's a robot. I think it's a robot riding a dinosaur into a burning city. And it is an amazing painting. Maybe I'll share it on our Instagram. Please just do. For the funsies. He deserves that attention. It was great.
Sure.
One thing I wasn't sure about, and I just texted my friend who has been reading a lot of Churchill and he didn't know. The Surge? Is that a thing? Is that a Churchill reference?
I think it's an Iraq thing.
Is it? Okay.
Or maybe, yeah, no, because, yeah, wasn't that the name of one of the big movements in Iraq was the Surge?
I couldn't remember. I heard Surge and I thought about the soda.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was a reference to.
Which I used to love Surge soda when I was little, and then you could, like, 2 or 3 years ago, you could buy them on Amazon again, and I bought it, and it was disgusting, and I'm like, I don't remember why I liked this so much when I was little.
It's a name of one of the moves they made. Okay. Is that what you call a bat, like, something in war, a move? I think that's the official term of, like, a battle.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
I clearly know my military.
I mean, I always picture it like Battleship.
Like, yeah. Your turn.
Yeah. It's your turn, America. What are you going to do?
Favorite lines? Or, sorry, do you have
this isn't a line, but one of the other things that we liked is this is the first of two. In the next episode, too, we get a lot of Cheers references, which I thought was apt because for some reason that I love everyone at NerdMelt is watching Cheers right now.
Yeah.
Which is great. But there was that, he's like, the Sam and Diane thing can't keep going, can't keep happening, Jamie. Really enjoyed the Cheers.
I saw that show like a little bit here and there as a kid, but I didn't realize that was a Cheers reference. I haven't seen it enough to recognize that.
Come to the dark side, Caitlin. Okay. Just join the rest of us watching Cheers slowly and surely. I'm not as legit as the others. I do it like every 3 months. I'll watch like 5 episodes.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
This makes me happy. It's a great show. That I think this is the first time there's been somebody else on the podcast that hasn't watched something. Normally it's me where she'll be like, I'm like, haven't seen it. And this makes me really happy that you
remember. Catherine hadn't watched a lot, hadn't watched Simpsons. So.
Yeah. When I got in trouble for not having watched Seinfeld. Favorite episode.
It's not that you haven't watched Seinfeld. It's that you have no interest in watching Seinfeld. You're like, that show looks pointless. And I was like,
I did not say it looks pointless.
It is a show about nothing.
Interest me.
Fair enough. That's fair. That's funny. Fair. I love you no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I want you know my love doesn't depend on Seinfeld.
It might though. Favorite lines. I think I love the last line of the entire episode. Bye, sexy bear. That said to Frank at a gay club. That might just be my favorite.
I feel like I said mine already. The marriage joke.
Yeah.
I think I would say mine's probably the dream journal. They all come true. But if I'm doing another one, it's where she's talking about her roof every time. Like I went up on my roof, and then later he's like, "Your roof was awesome."
I know.
Like I go up there all the time. Just love her idea of like being like an exciting person.
Yeah,
roofs are great.
That's the exciting thing.
I know. She goes on her roof, though. I must admit, roofs in New York must be awesome.
Can I just say that whenever she sees Jamie with his mom at the end of the episode and she's like, that's a deal breaker, shut it down, I don't know if I would have that same reaction. I'd be like, he's still cute. I don't care that he wants me because I look like his mom and he has a weird mommy fetish. I honestly whatever. I don't know, it would depend on how much I liked him. So I was like, come on, Liz.
I think 2 dates in I would have been like, no.
Yeah,
I think I would have the same reaction as well. Like, and there's a difference between like, oh, like for me, if I walked in like, oh, your mom's a redhead, okay, like that's not as much of a deal breaker. But if I'm like, there are a lot more similarities than just this, that's where.
Can I tell you a dumb story that I'm probably gonna want you to cut, but we'll see how it turns out. I went on a date. So my best friend is a man named Justin Taylor, aka JT, and he is a gay man. And we've been friends for like 10 years. One time I went on a date with a man who looked just like him and it was weird. And we met on OkCupid. So I didn't really like totally know what he looked like. It was kind of like, I saw his pictures, but I got there. I was like, oh crap. He looks just like him, but that did not stop me from having relationships of a romantic nature with him. And then the next day they were like in the same room because he like slept over at my apartment. And I was like, oh man, there they are sitting next to each other. And this is weird.
How did JT feel about it?
I don't know if he like saw the resemblance as much as I did. Cause like, you know, when someone's like, you look like that person, you're like, I don't see it. Yeah, so I don't know if he thought that they looked alike, but I did. And I was like, this is weird. I can't see this guy again. So that's my story that's related to this.
That's really funny.
That would do it. That would definitely do it. It's amazing how much that can happen. Like someone will have a mannerism and I'm just like, oh, you're like this person. And then it just immediately changes everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
But see, I have now for, I mean, if we're siding on, would we have dated Jamie through this or not? I think I side with Kelsey, but I will say, I see your point where mm-hmm. you could be like, oh, he has a healthy relationship with women.
Yeah.
Like, he has a good relationship with his mom. Like he knows how to respect a lady.
And he wasn't immediately turned off by the fact that she was 17 years older than him. He was still like, I respect her. She's smart. She's attractive. A lot of young dudes would be like, oh, gross. Woman in her late 30s. Ugh.
Yeah. I've had guy friends date older women. I'm always like, respect. You appreciate wisdom and thoughtfulness and experience. And my hat's off to you. I respect you. So true. We'll give Jamie that point. So I'm like, I'll be the middle ground of this Kinsey scale. But that's how Kinsey scales work, right?
Yes.
Cool. Great. I got it.
Well done. This has been awesome. This is only part one.
This is only part one, but it's the end of our first week episode.
Yes.
That's so exciting. This is so new.
Yes. So we'll have Catherine back again for next week's
episode. Catherine, Caitlin.
You know what's funny?
We talked about Caitlin.
You guys, okay, my first name is Caitlin. My last name is Durante. Get it right.
You know what's, not even kidding. I was on my way here because I follow, Catherine was our guest like a while ago. Yeah. And I follow her on Twitter. And on my way here, I like got here and like scrolled through Twitter real quick. And I saw Catherine and I was like, Caitlin is coming today. Don't, and I almost thought of telling you beforehand, like, if I call you Catherine, it's just because I was just like, I literally thought about having this conversation.
I brought up Catherine earlier, so
yeah,
that didn't
it's
help.
It's all sorts of messed up, and I apologize. But
it's okay.
Caitlin, it's been fun having you for this one. Where can people find you? What type of things do you have coming up?
You can follow me on Twitter at Caitlin Durante. You can go to my website, CaitlinDurante.com, and all my like upcoming shows. If you're local to Los Angeles, you can check those out.
Mm-hmm. Or they can fly out. I mean,
you can fly out. Spend a bunch of money.
It's worth it. It's what's the price for joy? You know,
right?
Priceless.
Priceless. You can also listen to my podcast. We mentioned it before, the Bechdel Cast. It's available on iTunes and some other platforms. And you can follow us on Twitter at BechdelCast.
Perfect.
Awesome.
All right. You can find me at Kimchi Lucas everywhere. You know, whatever.
Just whatever.
I never plug myself well. I'm always just like, if you want.
I should be like, you should follow Kimmy everywhere. Kimchi Lucas.
Yeah, you plug me. Okay, so I'll plug. Follow Kelsey at Redheaded Blonde. Her tweets are adorable, and it's a very interesting look into what it is to work IT at a large corporation. So you will learn a lot.
It's great.
So at Redheaded Blonde.
Well done. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then you can find our podcast everywhere at Talk 30 Rock to Me. Mm-hmm. You can email us, Talk 30 Rock to Me. All that good stuff.
Perfect. Yeah, so new name, same us.
Same us.
All right, see you next week.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.